A man born without arms learned to dress and feed himself with his feet. His handwriting was beautiful, accomplished with a pencil held in his teeth. He earned a living and lived normally in almost every way. Nothing is handicap, he said, until you begin to think of it as a handicap. That is precisely the handicap most of us live with. We think we are handicapped. We see the world as a wilderness and not as a paradise. We behold the mud instead of the stars, or we experience the absence of God instead of His presence. There is never a moment when He could be no more present. The problem is with us. So may our desire be to see your life filled with the miracles of God. Good evening and welcome to Message of Hope. I'm Heidi Han. This program is aired by Hong Kong Adventist International Church, located in Ventris Road, Happy Valley. Message of Hope covers health tips and healthy recipes, discover the truth in the Bible, and life issues. These talks will be presented by professional speakers from various Adventist institutions in Hong Kong. If you want to receive free Bibles and Bible study lessons, send us a text message at 6641-8811 with your name and address. We'll randomly select 10 listeners and send them free Bibles and Bible study lessons. We pray that you may be blessed by our program. Now is the time for health tips and healthy recipes. Jean Aldridge, nurse and health promoter, covers a topic today on choices that harm.
How and where are choices made? One might say, in the brain, of course. But not all parts of the brain are alike, especially when it comes to directing the activities of the body. The cerebellum is the term for the entire outer layer of the brain, and it makes up about 85% of what is called the gray matter. The white matter is about 15% of the brain mass and is composed of the connecting wires. There are four lobes of the cerebellum, each divided into left and right portions. These lobes are the occipital lobes, responsible for processing visual information and for balance, the temporal lobes, which control word memory, speech, language, and even some personality traits, the parietal lobes have sensations for heat, cold, pain, vibration, and performance of simple tasks. Some people will ignore one side of the body after a stroke as though it did not exist. The walnut-shaped brain is divided in halves. The reactions for one side are registered in the opposite side of the body. For example, if certain parts of the brain are damaged on the left side, there may be right-sided symptoms. A right-handed person injured in the left temporal lobe may be without speech, even though they can understand words. They may not be able to express their responses. The most important part of the brain for making choices is located in the frontal lobes. Place the palm of your hand above your eyes and let the fingers fall over the top front of your head, and you are covering the frontal lobes. If the front part of the frontal lobes is damaged, the result may be impaired concentration, reduced fluency of speech, apathy, inattentiveness, or a striking lack of inhibition, including socially inappropriate behavior. Persons who lose their inhibitions may be inappropriately euphoric or happy or depressed, excessively argumentative or passive and vulgar. They may show disregard for the consequences of their behavior. They may repeat what they say. They lose their loyalty to God and family and may become addicted to drugs or abuse alcohol. These mind-numbing substances will reduce their inhibitions and give them a false lack of responsibility. Heavy use of addictive and harmful substances may cause them to go into a stupor in which they can forget the real world temporarily. They may be drunk or high. They may quarrel or fight. They may be so affected that they go to sleep deeply. Their frontal lobe is no longer in charge. Many under the influence have no concept of how much of a harmful substance they have ingested, and they may attempt to drive and end up having an accident, possibly killing themselves or others, while they are in an altered state of consciousness. What types of things can affect our brains so much that we live inappropriately and even very dangerously? In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, we read, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It is an addictive substance, and if indulged, will gradually become your master. Minds are captured by addictive behaviors. Some people may appear to be perfectly all right to us, while bringing sadness, pain, and poverty to those they should most protect. Many other activities and behaviors are also addicting. Gambling is a mindset that the next time you will be a winner, and your family will be proud of you, and all will be well. Sadly, your children may be cold, hungry, in pain, shunned, and fearful. The lucky days come to very few. The so-called street drugs, like cocaine, crack cocaine, amphetamines, marijuana, ice, and crystal meth, and more, in one way or another rob us of our frontal lobes and our sense of right and wrong. A trail of tears follows those who are so self-indulgent. Some even find pleasure and satisfaction in causing others pain. Thoughts of shame should originate in the frontal lobe, but if you have numbed it out, there is no shame to influence you to change. God can change the heart and give you strength to follow Him if you really want Him to. Make wise choices with His help, and you will find peace and strength in His service.
You're listening to Message of Hope, and you can find us at www.adventists.hk. ADVENTISTS.HK. Now coming up, we've got Discover the Truth in the Bible by Rick Aldridge, Director of Chaplaincy Services at Adventist Health Hong Kong. He presents a topic entitled An Ever-Present Savior, Part 2.
Just as the earthly sanctuary served as a miniature reproduction of the heavenly temple where Jesus now ministers for us, the services carried on in the earthly sanctuary were also an example and shadow of what is in heaven, Hebrews 8:5. But there's a striking difference. The ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which He is mediator is superior to the old one, and is founded on better promises, Hebrews 8:6. The priests, who served in the earthly temple, could not themselves forgive sin, but at the cross Jesus appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself, Hebrews 9:26. The Old Testament book of Leviticus describes in detail the services carried on in the sanctuary. The ceremonial rituals were divided into two parts, the daily services and the yearly services. Next time we'll deal with the yearly services. In the daily services, the priests offered sacrifices both for the individual and for the entire congregation. When an individual sinned, he'd bring an unblemished animal as a sin offering, lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and slaughter it at the place of the burnt offering, Leviticus 4:29. When the entire congregation was involved in some transgression, the priest performed almost the same ceremony for them. After killing the sacrificial animal, the priest took the blood of the offering into the sanctuary and placed some of it on the horns of the altar of incense. These blood sacrifices conveyed the truth that sin results in death, and the sinner can escape ultimate death only by having another person die in his or her place. Christ's sacrifice stands at the very heart of the sanctuary system. First, the animal to be sacrificed must be without blemish, because it represented the one who is holy, blameless, pure, and set apart from sinners, Hebrews 7:26. Second, the guilt of the sinner must be transferred to the guiltless animal by confession of sin and laying on of hands. This symbolized Christ taking on our guilt at Calvary. The sinless one became sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Third, the sacrificial animal had to be killed and its blood shed because it pointed forward to the supreme penalty that Christ suffered on the cross. What happened over and over in the Old Testament sanctuary pointed forward to Christ's one great saving act. Having died for our sins, He entered the holy places once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us, Hebrews 9:12. Well, why all the blood? Some people have complained Christianity has too much blood in it. Why is it that without the shedding of blood there's no forgiveness, according to Hebrews 9:22? Why is blood such an important symbol in the Bible? It may not seem like a very pleasant image at first, but the blood of Christ can speak eloquently to us. Christ's blood is a symbol of life, of his death, and of the suffering heart of God. Leviticus 17:11 tells us, "For the life of a creature is in the blood." It's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Christ's life was as important as his death. If it weren't for his sinless life, the cross would serve no purpose. And had he not lived after he died, his death couldn't save us. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:14, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith." When Jesus spilled his blood from the cross, he was pouring out his life for humanity. He was offering up his perfectly obedient life as a substitute for our failures. Another reason for the blood of Christ is that Christ's blood is a symbol of his death. When he shed his blood on the cross, he was paying the wages of sin, death, eternal death. He experienced the agony of complete separation from God the Father. God the Son stepped into history to take on himself the full results of sin and to demonstrate how tragic wrongdoing really is. He could then forgive sinners without trivializing sin. A third reason for the blood is that Christ's blood is a symbol of the suffering heart of God. The cross reveals how much pain sin has brought to God. He's not a bloodthirsty deity demanding a sacrifice. He himself was the sacrifice. When the Father and Son were torn apart at Calvary, the Father must have turned away in anguish as the Son died of a broken heart. Christ's blood represents the whole drama of the atonement, that amazing act which enabled God to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross, Colossians 1:20. Those Old Testament temple sacrifices represented Christ's death for our sins. The work of the priests depicted Christ's ministry as high priest. How does the work of the priest in the Hebrew sanctuary compare to what Jesus is now doing as our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary? Hebrews 9:24 and 26 says, "For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. But now he's appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself." It's almost too much to comprehend. Jesus offered himself as the sacrifice on Calvary's cross. He offered himself because nothing less would do. What is Jesus' day-by-day work in the heavenly temple? Hebrews 7:25 says, "Therefore he's able to save completely, forever, those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." Jesus now lives to present his blood, his sacrifice, on our behalf. He's now working diligently to save every human being from the tragedy of sin. Some mistakenly assume that as our intercessor, Jesus is in heaven begging a reluctant God to forgive us. In fact, it's God who joyfully accepts his Son's sacrifice on our behalf. The Father and the Son work together to create this means of reconciliation. As our high priest in heaven, Christ also pleads with humanity. He works to help the indifferent take a second look at grace, to help despairing sinners to grasp hope in the gospel, and to help believers find more riches in the Word of God and more power in prayer. Jesus is molding our lives in harmony with God's commandments and helping us develop characters that will stand the test of time. Jesus laid down his life for every person who's ever lived in this world. And now, as our intercessor and mediator, he always lives to lead people to accept his death for their sins. But human beings are free to reject the pardon Jesus offers. Although he reconciled the whole fallen world to himself on the cross, he still can't save us unless we accept his grace. People will not be lost because they're sinners, but because they refuse to accept the pardon Jesus offers. Sin destroyed the intimate relationship Adam and Eve once enjoyed with God. But Jesus, as the Lamb of God, died to free Adam and Eve and all humanity from sin and restore this lost friendship. Have you discovered him as your high priest, the one who ever lives to keep that relationship close and vibrant? Christ's sacrificial death is utterly unique. His heavenly ministry is incomparable. Only Christ brings God close beside us. Only Christ makes it possible for the divine spirit to actually dwell in our hearts. Let's accept him fully as the Savior and Master of our lives. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today that I've discovered your loving interest in me personally. I'm so thankful that through Christ's ministry in the heavenly temple, you're constantly guiding my life and the lives of your people everywhere. Help me to respond fully and completely to your gracious activity to save me and give me a better life. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, then, I'm Chaplain Rick.
You are listening to Message of Hope, and you can follow us on Twitter at HKAIC. If you want to receive free Bibles and Bible study lessons, or have any questions about today's program, send us a text message at 6641-8811 with your name and address. We'll randomly select 10 listeners and send them free Bibles and Bible study lessons. Next up is an inspirational song for you, presented by the Golden Angels. Holy, Holy, Holy. You are listening to Message of Hope, and you can join us on Facebook at Hong Kong Adventist International Church. It is now time for Life Issues. Today's talk on spiritual Q&A is presented by Paul Cho, Senior Pastor of Hong Kong Adventist International Church.
Sometimes in our Christian life, we face problems and have questions regarding spiritual life. I would like to take some of the cases and give you a piece of advice based on the Word of God. Here is the first question tonight. I am seriously thinking about going to church. If so, which church should I attend? One of my friends recommends that I go to his or her church. The pastor of this church is so famous, he even appears on TV shows. My other friend recommends a church where many celebrities attend. But then I want to have some criteria in finding the best church. I wonder which standards and principles I should refer to. Thank you very much for your question. We cannot say it is always right to follow when an arrow is pointing to a certain direction. We may be in trouble if we just follow where the arrow is pointing. Counterfeit money is so similar to genuine money that it seems to be real. However, it is fake even though it is 99.9% same as genuine money. When the level of counterfeit money in circulation reached its peak, a TV show demonstrated how to distinguish between genuine and fake notes. According to an expert on counterfeits, the surest way to do so is to know about genuine money thoroughly. Only then can we know what is true and false. Popularity isn't always right. A great number doesn't always lead us to the right direction. We are sometimes swayed by the large-scale structure and see the truth distorted by the tyranny of the majority. History proves that the truth has always gone through sufferings. Ironically, the truth has been preserved by the minority. Because the direction of the truth didn't suit the taste of the public. But then, there should be a barometer in order to keep the truth as it is. We long to look for true freedom. If physical freedom is temporary, we can say that mental freedom is permanent. There is a mutual relationship between the truth and freedom. If we know the truth, true freedom will follow. If you are looking for the truth in terms of church, its barometer lies in the Bible. If you want to appreciate true freedom, I suggest you check it out for yourself in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Now, here is the second question for tonight. I have attended church for several years and tried to be a faithful member, but recently I heard that one of my close friends suddenly passed away. I just cannot understand his death and why God has allowed such a good-hearted person to die suddenly. I'm now seriously considering whether to continue my faith in God. Thank you again for your good question. Not long ago, I received the sad news. The son of my Indonesian friend had died in a motorcycle accident in the States. It broke my heart because I was very close to both of them. He was such a trustworthy person. He loved God and was a faithful follower. He also had a wonderful family, including his young wife. Whenever I hear such heartbreaking news, I cannot help asking myself this question. How in the world can this happen? If it happened to my family, I'm sure my agony and unanswered question would be beyond description. My doubts would increase when bad things happen to those good people. On the other hand, life doesn't seem to be fair when worthless people live a long and enjoyable life. There are countless questions in the world that we cannot never answer. Troubles may have been created by others or by ourselves. It is all a mystery to man who has no idea about the future. There was a king named Hezekiah in the Bible. He was one of the few kings in Israel who were good and righteous. But when he became ill, he pleaded with God to extend his life. Then God granted him another 15 years. But he made such a fatal mistake that brought his nation to a crisis. His legendary achievement would have been long remembered if his life had not been extended. We have no way to see what our future is like. We cannot even predict what is best for us. I pray that Matthew chapter 10 verse 29 may help you understand this matter. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. And in Luke 12:7, it says, But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. I hope and pray that this advice will be helpful for your spiritual journey in Christ. May God bless you all.
Once again, we appreciate your listening to Message of Hope. If you want to receive free Bibles and Bible study lessons, or have any questions about today's program, send us a text message at 6641-8811 with your name and address. We'll randomly select 10 listeners and send them free Bibles and Bible study lessons. Hope that you will join us again at 10 p.m. next Monday. God bless and have a great week.